commission actually started out as we started out with this paper that Natalie and I had worked on about the French long-term care insurance market. And I also wanted to acknowledge the fact that Pam Doty of the U.S. Health and Human Service Department is a co-author on that paper and was also instrumental in developing this. And I think the inspiration for starting to look at what was going on in France really came from the situation in the U.S. So you know, the whole question of, you know, how and why does it work elsewhere was really inspired by a crisis in the U.S. private long-term care insurance market. So this is part of the context of why we decided to look abroad. So I'd like to also acknowledge the fact that a lot of this work is not original. As I said, it was really setting the context for the French, for the introduction for the French paper. A lot of the work is taken from what Mark Cohen did. He's done really a lot of the work around what's been going on in the private long-term care insurance market in the U.S. So I also wanted to acknowledge that. Is this going? There we go. Yeah, Pam Doty and Pam Cohen. Okay. And also yesterday morning we had a very good session where we talked about some of this stuff as well, and I'm going to refer to some of the stuff that we talked about in that meeting. All right, the market in the U.S. is in crisis. Companies are dropping out of the market. Underwriting is getting stricter. A lot of companies are introducing restrictions. Even one company has been considering gender-related premiums. There have been premium increases. And over the years, the clientele has been narrowing. The people who are purchasing long-term care insurance tend to be richer, wealthier, better educated, et cetera, et cetera. So we're really looking at the death spiral of the industry. And, you know, while I thought this might be a little bit hyperbolic and maybe I should, you know, tone down my language a little bit more for this presentation, what was really funny was yesterday the guy from the, you know, the insurance side from Towers Watson, he actually referred to the policies that we've been using in the United States, that have been prevalent in the United States, as long-term care insurance 1.0, and that we need to move on to long-term care insurance 2.0. I mean, he was really acknowledging that this is a dead duck. The model that's been out there for so long, it really is over. So I thought that was a pretty, bold-faced acknowledgement by somebody from the insurance industry that the current system is not working. And the reason why this is, you would think the evidence is so strong that this would be just kind of a given. The U.S. private insurance industry has not been particularly susceptible to accepting that they've been going down the wrong road. So this really is sort of a sea change right now. Finally, we've gotten to the point where, that's sort of the end of my presentation, you know, are we at a tipping point now where real change can happen? Which is really kind of exciting in its own way. So here's an illustration of some of these facts. The number of insured lives has been relatively flat since 2005. Companies have been dropping out of the market like flies. There were 102 companies selling long-term care insurance in 2002. Now they're around 12. Now, Cohen did a survey on why are you dropping out of the market, and there are various complicated reasons for why this has been so. A lot of it had to do with the financial crisis and the fact that, the money that you use to pay out benefits is in the market, and if the market doesn't do well, then you don't have any money to pay people out. So there's that kind of historical accident sort of answer that has nothing to do with how attractive the product is or anything like that. So in one sense, we can sort of, write that off. But there were also a lot of issues around inability to predict what was going on, what was going to happen. Just a huge amount of uncertainty about, what the future was going to look like. So Cohen surveyed 26 companies and they talked about product performance, not hitting their profit objectives, cited high capital requirements, and that's related to the stock market explanation I was just mentioning. There was a lot of risk. And they saw this as an extremely risky market. 62% were concerned about their ability to get rate increases. They just basically worried about risk. And the interesting thing about that survey from the public policy perspective is they really didn't mention regulation all that much and public policy that much, which is kind of encouraging because obviously one of the explanations people have had for, you know, why can't you change your product or, you know, what's going on here is that you sometimes hear from the private insurance market, you know, American regulations are overbearing. And certainly there is a lot of state-to-state variation in regulation that does cause difficulties. And I'm not saying regulation isn't an issue, but it was just very interesting that the insurers themselves did not cite that as a primary reason why they were not interested in long-term care insurance. So this is a more detailed, once again, taken from Cohen, a very detailed picture of how the market has changed in terms of people who purchase the product. As you can see, lots of, you know, more likely to be employed now, more likely to be college educated, more likely to have over $75,000 in median assets. So all these things, they point to a narrowing market of better off individuals. And this is just a snapshot of how the rates have been rising. So you can see it's a horrific amount of money. It's very, very expensive and obviously not affordable for the average person. And one of the interesting things, too, is the nature of the plans. I mean, one of the things I personally have never been quite able to understand is the fact that, you know, they're selling much more comprehensive plans. So, you know, one of the issues I think we really have to think about when we think about long-term care insurance is, do we want people to try to cover everything? You know, during our recent debate about the Class Act, I remember there's this guy named Bill Weissert in the U.S., and he was really anti-class because his idea was, well, the Class Act doesn't insure against the real risk, which is the risk of a very expensive nursing home stay. So I think one of the things we want to think about as a group is what is the public policy goal. You know, given that we're all public policy people, we're not, most of us, some of us are private insurers, but, you know, we're really interested in what do we think the role of private insurance should be playing within a system, you know, where we have a public role and a private role. Do we think that private insurance should be insuring against, and once again, I'm hopping against ahead in my slides, but catastrophic risk, the catastrophic risk of a nursing home stay, or the low-end risk of routine daily needs for the majority of people who are going to require some kind of long-term care. So the interesting thing was that the American product was trying to be all things to all people. It was trying to cover home care, low-end care, and then also nursing home care. And the private sector person would respond to this by saying, well, that's what's sold. You know, we offered these other products. We had these options available to people. Why didn't they buy those other products? But I guess that's something to think about. I mean, you know, the skeptical response would be this guy yesterday from the insurance industry was talking about how these products are sold. He was arguing that long-term care insurance is sold, not bought. That you need to have somebody there selling the products. And he produced some very interesting numbers about how insurers who invested in training their brokers and developing specialized brokers who only sold long-term care insurance were much more successful than those who do not develop a specialized selling expertise, which backed up his argument about it has to be sold. But you could also say, well, they're being trained to be selling this really expensive product. You know, maybe they were selling the high-end product because there was a bigger profit margin on that. You know, so it's just something to think about. All right, so the other thing to think about was the fact that the growth that has been seen in the market has been seen in the group market. And once again, I think this sort of links up to a lot of what's going on internationally because one of the findings we had in the French paper was that the biggest growth, once again, was in the group market. And that sort of says something about, you know, we've talked a lot in this meeting about mental barriers to purchasing long-term care. And I think one of the big components that we should be thinking about is trust, you know, trust in insurance companies, and that is very complicated. And, you know, for many people, I think purchasing through an employer, it sort of cuts through all that stuff. They hope or they trust their employer enough that their employer has vetted these products, you know, that it's at least of somewhat minimum quality. You know, it's not a complete scam artist out there trying to take advantage of them. So it's something about group products, not, you know, not in addition to the sort of obvious ease of, you know, purchasing a group product that is there for you and somebody sits down and says, you know, this is available to you. So that, you know, there are a number of reasons why you could argue that group products are more popular, and I'm sort of advancing one of those reasons. Okay, so group products, and one of the policy-related, there were a number of American policy initiatives to support the long-term care insurance market, and one of which was offering it as a federal benefit. So one of the things I'd be very interested in is to drill down in those numbers a little bit more and find out, you know, which of the groups, in which of these groups was were the increases in purchase most evident, and, you know, sort of teasing that out a little bit more, because that would be one way of figuring out, you know, why people are buying. Okay. So once again, going back to public policy efforts, you know, the success has been modest at best. But there have been some initiatives that have been mildly successful. As I said, the federal employees, other large employees, there's something called the Long-Term Care Partnership that some states took on, which allowed people to not have to use up all their assets in order to qualify for Medicaid if they bought long-term care insurance. So that was mildly successful, not a huge success. And there's been utter failure in other areas of public policy. Obviously, the CLASS Act, which many people have talked about. Following the CLASS Act, there was something called the Long-Term Care Commission, which was kind of the, I don't know, the lollipop the administration gave the long-term care community after the CLASS Act failed. And that was meant to be, you know, let's have a commission and figure out what to do about this. And really, the results were completely underwhelming. There was very little consensus. It really, people agreed on relatively non-controversial things that needed to be done about long-term care, but never tackled the real critical issue, which is financing. How do we pay for long-term care? But I suppose I shouldn't have put Land This Plane under the utter failure. The Land This Plane was an initiative of private sector people and some policymakers to really sort of talk about what are we going to do next. And the good thing of all this is that there was some agreement about insurers working with the public sector to sort of move forward, which, you know, to a European perspective is not too surprising, but in America there's been not so much collaboration between these two sectors. And so I think the sort of stalemate that we're at right now is that we really do think, you know, it is quite evident right now that a new strategy is needed. I think we have to accept that private long-term care insurance cannot be this Cadillac model, which is all things to all people and covering all these risks. So therefore, we need to make a decision about what role we think it needs to play. And maybe, you know, no decision needs to be made. This is something that needs to be negotiated between insurers and the public sector. But the conversation needs to happen. You know, do we want it to support funding costs or catastrophic costs? And, you know, one of the other things that hasn't been discussed so much here is the fact that the U.S. insurance market works on a reimbursement model. It is, rather than paying out cash as the French policies do, this is something that it's a little sort of policy, you know, a little tweak. But I think it's important in the sense that, once again, it's an attitude that American insurers have that cash is far more risky, therefore they price it more highly, whereas the Europeans think that it's easier to administer, and therefore they don't price it so highly. Americans think this is subject to moral hazard. So that's a premise that I think needs to be investigated. There's some pros and cons about it. And the other thing about a cash benefit as opposed to a reimbursement benefit is that it's simpler, I think. I think a lot of the conversations we've been having, you know, there's a consistent message across all the countries that simple products are best. And, you know, my personal hypothesis about the American product is that it's so complicated. In addition to all the other negatives associated with an American product, there's the simple fact that it's incredibly complicated to understand. You know, there are all different kinds of things you can buy. You can have different coverage periods. You can have different types of inflation protection. It's really complicated. I think a cash benefit is just intuitively simple to people. So once again, if you're trying to create a product that's going to appeal to people, a cash benefit is helpful from that perspective. All right, so this is just the long tail thing. Okay, so have private long-term care insurers in the U.S. finally reached their tipping point. So the landless plane effort pulled a diverse group of actuaries, public policy people, regulators, and so forth, and they did actually find agreement on the complementary roles of the public and private sector. And there also has been some evidence of some leaders in the insurance sector discussing collaboration with the public sector at the state level. There have been some conversations going on about these sorts of potential wraparound products or something like that. And repeating the message about product simplification, Richard Frank has also published some stuff about where he's been making recommendations around that. So that's there. All right, thank you.